This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Juliet Jacobs with Sharmila Ganesan and Lim Soo Ann. So two stories for you as always. In our first story, we're again looking at the draft Kuala Lumpur Structure Plan, KLSP 2040, which contains DBKL's proposed development policies for the next 20 years. So the draft has been issued by DBKL for comments and feedback, but time is running out for you to do that. So we're going to give you a quick refresher on what you need to know about this plan and why your involvement is crucial.
And for our second story, well, in the digital era, it's becoming increasingly difficult to control the news that we're exposed to and know what more to try and shelter kids from upsetting information. So today we'll be discussing the impact that this has on children and what we can do to help the little ones.
So on that note, we are asking you on Twitter, do you take the time to discuss major news stories with your children? The options are yes, no, or only beyond a certain age. So you can take that poll, you can share your thoughts with us at BFM Radio on Twitter. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or you can call us at 03-7733-2900.
So we're going to be discussing that in our second story. But for now, we're looking back at something we did a couple of weeks ago where we highlighted that the KL City Hall or DBKL has begun displaying the draft Kuala Lumpur Structure Plan 2040. So it is the highest planning document for Kuala Lumpur and it contains DBKL's proposed development policies for the next 20 years. And it is actually mandatory for DBKL to publish the draft for public viewing and participation. So that means that you get to see in advance how exactly your neighbourhood will be affected, if at all, in the next 20 years.
So we won't stop stressing that this is a very, very important document, considering the rampant overdevelopment that we've seen taking place in the past. So it's essential that residents who call KL home really scrutinise the proposed changes to land use, to zoning, to development density, to recreational areas, transportation, and so on.
So that might seem like a lot to ask for most of us who don't quite understand zoning laws, maps and the like. So luckily there are groups like the TTDI Residents Association and the Selamatkan KL Coalition who are organising public briefings to help KLites understand how the KLSP 2040 can impact them and their future.
So earlier today I spoke to Dato' M. Ali who is the Vice Chairman of Selamatkan KL, which is an organisation that advocates for city planning which protects our community, environment and future. So they are organising a public briefing tonight and I wanted to find out more about that. I started off by asking Dato' Ali to once again explain why this draft plan is so important and why public participation is essential too.
Primarily, the draft KLSP, we call it a Kuala Lumpur Structure Plan 2040, will be a prelude to the Kuala Lumpur City Plan 2040. So it is very fundamental that the community, the KLites, Warga Kota Kuala Lumpur, look at it seriously because the framework of the KLCP will be based on the KLSP, Kuala Lumpur Structure Plan 2040. Mm-hmm. They will be outlining all the basic plans, as like for instance, identifying institutional land, identifying green open space, public open space, and what structure is going to come next to your building or next to your home. So all that will be based on the structure plan. Therefore, the citizens of Kuala Lumpur, the KLites, must seriously make an effort to view it at, I believe, the schedule they given was, of course, they had a couple of days display in number of spots, very, very selected spots. But the main thing is has been on display at DBKL, Jalan Raja Laut, Menara 1, from the 18th of February, and the closing date will be 18th of March, by which time we are expected to view and submit whatever feedback we have in terms of suggestions, objections, etc.
Right.
So that is the gist of it, to say that every citizen of Kuala Lumpur should pay attention to it because it will have an impact on our vicinity, our environment, or even the whole of city of Kuala Lumpur. You know, if there's a traffic jam, if there's a mess in somewhere in one stretch of the road, it's going to have an impact the entire Kuala Lumpur too.
You've had a look at the draft plan, I'm sure. And based on what you've seen so far, are there already some areas of concern, especially for you and the residents of your neighbourhood as well?
The group, Selamat Kan Kuala Lumpur, SKL, we've gone through it. And we, in fact, the TTDI, Taman Kuntok, the Ismail Resident Association, has organised one session on the 1st of March in their area. And running through it, the group SKL has found some areas of concern and doubts. For instance, there is a desire to have green space. So when you say you want to have green space, how are they going to create the green space? We would like to know. You know, as it is, whatever little green space, including playground and little parks, have been taken away. Public open space, per se, it should be accessible to the public at large, not to a select group of people. For instance, you go and identify a golf club as a public open space. Is it really a public open space? It's a question you would like to ask. You know, I mean, if you say that public open space, that you and I should be able to walk in to a public open space, create all the facilities, use it for recreational activities. The youth of today, the youngsters, they need space today. Because everywhere, every field, every green is taken away. So this is our concern. So how are they going to create this public open space when they are talking about more and more high-rise and development? So we are emphasizing on the need for more green and public open space for the KLites.
So things that you have noticed which are inconsistent, right? So let's say, so now, of course, is the time to bring that up to DBKL. Am I correct? And how should people go about doing that? I mean, how do they, besides heading down to DBKL to have a look at the draft plan, are there other ways that they can do it? And, you know, what should they do if they notice things that are, or if they notice discrepancies?
I mean, in the interest of public interest, the resident associations, the concerned environmental-based NGOs must look at it very closely. The neighborhood communities must form little groups and look at their areas vis-a-vis the plan, what has been shown, what has been planned in the plan itself. And right now, give the feedback to DBKL, failing which, I mean, if this gets through and the city plan comes into play, then they'll put that for just another viewing period and they'll just push it through. So we don't want that. We already had a bad experience with the 2020 plan, as all of us are aware. So we don't want the 2040 plan also to be messed up like what they've done to the 2020 plan.
Right. So just to reiterate, right, if we don't get it done now, it's very likely that these plans will get pushed through and then that's it, right? I mean, because...
Yeah, of course, because the 2020 plan itself has got, at the time of the then minister, FK minister, signing it, we had highlighted to him, there are over 400 addendums. So when you talk of addendums and you approve a plan, is it a good plan? If it's a good plan, why should there be over 400 addendums? No, I mean, it contradicts. I mean, if you say it's a good plan, there shouldn't be, I mean, you can give minor number 1, 2, 3, perhaps. But when you talk of over 400 and they are still having public hearing with more addendums coming into play. So that is the basis which should all be alert to the structure plan. Structure plan is equally as important as a city plan because the city plan will be based on the structure plan.
Okay. And I know tonight Selamat Kan KL is organising a briefing. Am I correct? And, you know, who should come and what should they come prepared with, if at all?
We have extended invitation to all interested communities of Kuala Lumpur to come and listen to us. The group of us, members have volunteered to explain who have gone through this from 2008-2009 KL City Plan onwards. We have been following through and they have volunteered to sort of explain what is in store, what are the shortfalls or shortcomings in the present draft so that one can be alerted. I mean, like, for instance, turning a road, like for Jalan Maruf, and they've identified it as a federal road. I mean, Jalan Maruf, one example I'm giving you is a housing road.
That's right.
Fundamentally and basically. In the plan, it's shown in a color which is reflective of a federal road. So how could you turn a housing estate road into a federal road? You know, these are things like that. You know, each area, a group of people from the respective areas must look at it very minutely so that we don't go in for surprises.
That's right.
So that's why they organized this session tonight from 8 to 10 p.m. at the Pusat Community Bukit Bandaraya, Jalan Medan Tanduk, Bangsa.
Okay, it's quite, I mean, I think it might be intimidating for some people, right? They wouldn't know what is a federal road, what is a, you know, what is a neighborhood road as such, you know, so it's good to come for these sorts of things and, you know, get some clarity.
This is good. In addition to that, we would have expected the authorities, either the FT Ministry or DBKL, to hold briefing sessions for the communities of Kuala Lumpur, you know, rather than just putting a display. I mean, if you take a layman, including myself, if I go and look at the plan, if I have not had interest or I don't have friends who have been sort of following it through and guiding us, explaining, I would not have grasped. Like that, many of us, we are all laypersons, you know, basically. So DBKL or FT Ministry should have organized briefing sessions to the communities. They invited the communities. Not only displaying is good enough, they should brief and explain what is there, area by area. At least they should have held road shows. They should have held road shows. Yeah. Before trying to wrap up the draft.
That's right. So, but here we are. So, you know, the best thing to do, of course, is just to make sure you get your hands somehow on that map and, you know, go through it with your neighbourhood, perhaps, right? Get your neighbours together. And then what happens? You know, how do we actually give our feedback to DBKL? And once DBKL has that feedback, what happens next?
They have feedback forms.
Okay.
So we have to use the feedback forms. And then you submit the DBKL. After that, we take it that they will sort of call for sessions, hearing sessions, as they call it, pendengaran, sesi pendengaran. It is a feedback session. Mm-hmm. And those who are submitted will be, we hope they will invite us. And then we have to go through and feedback and explain and clarify. So it's like putting the horse before the cart, putting the cart before the horse. They should have done the feeding. Information session first, then put the display. It will minimize and the clarity will be better for the public to understand the whole works.
That's right.
So this is what we are hoping. We look forward to the Dr. Banda being a very proactive man who walks the talk. He will sort of give enough importance to the plan because this is going to be very important to all of us in the city in terms of traffic management, environment, basic development. We are not against development, but we want things to be done in the proper way with the infrastructure, with the proper infrastructure to commensurate with the development in terms of traffic management. You know, everything should be balanced.
That's right.
Don't only talk about development. So this is what's important.
Okay. And of course, the deadline is the 18th of March, but I understand that you, you know, Selamatkan KL, they have actually approached Datuk Banda for a extension.
Not as yet. After tonight's briefing, we will take a decision and then approach the Dr. Banda for his consideration to give another 1 month extension at least.
Okay. All right. So hopefully...
And we want to arrive at an objective plan, which because that is going with a fundamental basis. Because with that plan, following it, the city plan, then there are a few amendments they are trying to do to the rules, like they used to be called Rule 5, public hearing, objectionable hearing. Once a plan is approved, there is a move, we understand, to get rid of the public hearing, which we don't want. We want the public hearing to be continued because not everybody has got an opportunity to understand the plan or access to the plan.
Yeah.
On top of that, you've got to pay for the books and even the digital copies.
That's right.
I mean, if they want to make it available, accessible to the public, give it free of charge. At least the digital copies should be, in fact, posted on the DBK website. So that anybody can access, and everybody has access to the draft stage. So we hope the city plan, they will put the digital copies without any charge. The hard copies, we understand there's a cost element involved, okay, but that also should have been brought down to a reasonable cost. You don't have to do any markup on it.
That's right.
Make it easily available, as freely as possible available. But the digital copy, the digital mode should be uploaded in the website, DBK website, so that people can access anytime and go through. And especially the youth of the day, the new generation who are coming up from the educational establishments or the professional bodies who are following the thing, they should have easy access to such facilities so that they can contribute the new thinking, the new generation, millennial or whatever you call it, the new generation, rather than just relying on the professionals who have been, with due respect to them, they have been involved in it. And we have also requested that people who have no vested interest, who have vested interest in the DBK, with DBKL, should not be involved in the plan as well.
That's right. Okay. So we there's still time. So I guess just everybody really needs to do their part. Everybody really needs to come together. And
everybody must come together. Everybody must take interest in it. You don't say that it's not, it doesn't affect me. You don't know when it will affect you.
Yes, so don't be caught by surprise. So that was Dato' M. Ali, the Deputy Chairperson of Selamatkan KL, an organisation that advocates for city planning, which protects our communities, environment and future.
So again, if you would like to attend that briefing, it is open to all. And it's happening at Pusat Community Bangsa, Bukit Bandaraya on Jalan Medang Tanduk from 8 to 10 p.m. tonight. And you can head to the Selamatkan Kuala Lumpur Facebook page if you want more information on that.
And the deadline to send in your feedback is the 18th of March 2020, and you can still view the plan at Aeon Maluri and Aeon Alpha Angle Wangsa Maju from March 5th to March 10th, and then Aeon Mall Metro Prima Kepong and Endah Parade Mall from March 11th to 17th, and at the lobby of Menara DBKL 1 in Jalan Raja Laut until the 17th of March.
And just as a reminder, right, once you've viewed the plan, if you notice anything adverse about land usage or zoning or development intensity, please do record your objections, your comments or your queries with DBKL, and you can provide your feedback or complaints online at dbkl.gov.my/epandangan.
Yeah, and ensure that you have documented proof of the objection, comment or query, either in the form of an email to DBKL or an acknowledged objection form. So just to finally kind of drive home the point of why you should attend. So the folks from Taman Rim, from the TDI Residents Association, also the Selamatkan KL folks, they've put together some initial thoughts about the map, and some of the things that they found, that's listed in this plan is things like there's going to be regeneration of old housing areas. So that's substantial sections of TTDI, Bukit Damansara and Sri Hartamas, which have been identified as such, and we don't quite know what this regeneration actually means. Another potential area of interest, potential areas for development are quite ambiguous and wide-reaching because they are mostly located next to forest reserves or large green areas. And even on the map, they've used the green colour coding for potential areas for development right next to the green lungs, which are also coded in green. So it's like you just see a lot of green and you're like, you might not understand what's happening. So again, there's plenty to be discussed. Do head to tonight's briefing if you can. If not, you can get in touch with these two groups. They are very open to discussion and to help you guys out. But, continue to tweet us at BFM Radio. If you have any thoughts, you can send us a WhatsApp message at 018-789-8899 or you can call us at 03-7733-2900. We're going to take a short break now, but here are the Radiance with Voice Your Choice. This is the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.